Surviving Life with the Vambillies is about a Christian perspective on everyday challenges surrounding work, family, and marriage.
The aim of this program is to equip you through the use of scripture with the right survival tools for life and all that it brings.
We are here for another good conversation with you. Hopefully, the last few weeks have been great. And I know we've really went into challenging topics, and it's been a lot of self-introspection, even on us as well, you know. But we want to encourage you to press through, you know, to not give up, to not stop looking for God in your situation. It's been a hard time for all of us. All the genuine believers we know have really gone through very tragic changes, and many have come out stronger and wiser than they were before. You know, it's not looked easy. It's not looked like a walk in the park. But man, you look back at some things and you are grateful that what looked like your death was actually your resurrection. Mm-hmm. What looked like you going underground was God actually lifting you up. And we don't know where you are in your stage, in your journey, but we want to encourage you that God is busy. And today's topic is going to be quite a heavy one.
Mm-hmm. Today we're going to talk about, did God fail you? And we're going to look back to look forward. But before we continue with that, I would just like to say, in the same way that, you know, God is coming through for some of the people watching and connecting with the words that, you know, the Lord has been speaking through this program, please send us your testimonies. It encourages us. It encourages everyone else that is watching, and we will read it. We will actually read it on the show to show that God is faithful and what he promises he does. So, with that, we're going to get into, did God fail you? So in the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the intimacy, right? It's been called many different things, many different episodes. I would call it the difficulty of intimacy, to know exactly what he said, when he said it, and then to stay the course when everything really looks like it's not going as you planned. And so the question comes in, God, why did you fail me? Did you fail me? And sometimes the question is, did God fail us? Or did we fail God? Now, we can't really fail God, not according to scripture. As long as we're alive, there's an opportunity every day, no matter what mistake you make, to come right back to the Lord. But it's not always about God not doing what he promised us he would do. But last week, we spoke about the test and how the Lord can delay certain things because we haven't yet acquired the not just the knowledge, but maybe even the character traits of what we need in order to move forward. He's not yet pruned certain things from us. He's not yet purged certain things from us. And so the test is taking a little bit longer just so we can be the version of ourselves that we need to be in the next season. A lot of the times when we're asking ourselves, right, did God fail us? We actually have to go back, right? If I could phrase it a different way, it would be, God, you're not doing anything. You're not moving. And then God would say, what is the last thing I told you to do? And that is always very frustrating for me because I'm like, God, I want to go this way. You know, when I was 22, around about 22 is when I started praying for a husband, right? So I'm praying for a husband and I'm expecting, your husband is standing at this taxi rank, go there and you shall find him. No. What does the Lord reply? No, go to France. Go to France. There's something for you in France. And so during my year in France, I am steady looking for a husband the whole time. I'm like, I prayed for a husband. God sent me to France. You better be here. And that led to certain mistakes, you know, certain thought pattern mistakes, certain heartbreaks, because I was like, wait, isn't this the husband? What is that supposed to mean? But France was not about finding a husband. It was about building the character to be a wife. And that's a testimony for a whole other day. But the Lord was making sure, listen, you're about to walk into this union of faith, and it's about to start right about now. Because from the second Danny came into my life, the level of faith we had to exercise, I was so glad that I listened to the Lord and went overseas. And at so many points, because I was working and studying, I would walk past a beggar, like at the Eiffel Tower in Paris. I would walk past a beggar and think, how are you a beggar and you are a citizen? And I come all the way from another continent. I have a roof over my head and I have a job. And the Lord would always remind me, yeah, it's because it's me. It's because it's me. So he was establishing something in me for what being a wife to this husband in that time would entail. We would have to exercise a level of faith for where would we live, how we would make money. And I had no idea at that time that I was called to any kind of ministry in covenant with anybody. I had no idea that I was going to be engaged to someone who had already been in ministry for 10 years. So you would think when you're told you're about to get married, logic says save up money. You're going to get married, save up money. But we get engaged and my husband loses his job because the Lord told him to take care of my father. So immediately we are faithing for the wedding. We are faithing for the honeymoon. We are faithing for the house. And the only reason I feel I had something in me to even walk through that season is because the previous year he said, go to France. Now, when we think God failed us, if I had not gone to France, right, and the Lord delayed my prayer for marriage, I would have no clue that that little trip was about to change my life. It changed me. For example, the vision or the word that Danny was given about his wife is that she would have a lot of natural Afro hair, right? The problem with that is when I went to France, I did not have Afro hair. It was when I was in France that the Lord said to me, go natural. And I stopped processing my hair. So by the time I came back from France, I was the Afro girl in his vision. Now, here's what's weird. I've known Danny since I was 6 years old. So we've been around each other for many, many years. But he could not see me because I didn't even look like the vision God gave him about his wife, right? So when we talk about God failing us, God is very intricate. If you read in Ezekiel 40 about the rebuilding of the temple. Oh, that is to the cubic centimeter, even the ark. Even the Ark of the Covenant, the gold, the curtains, God is very, very precise and detailed. And because his wisdom surpasses that of our own, the end of ours is the beginning of his. We cannot imagine what one level of obedience, the sort of domino effect it has towards the promise, towards what we're trusting God for. You're like, God, I want yellow. He's like, now open the orange door. How am I going to find yellow through the orange though? My wisdom surpasses your own. So is God failing us or are we still on the last thing we were told to do?
Sure. You know, it's so interesting when we speak of preparation.
Yeah.
What we think our preparation will be versus what it will be.
Yeah.
You know, it's well known, my wife and I, business, and we run a company called Love Your Locks. Now, before this company, I was involved in many, many companies. And they all had something in common. They were all failed. You know, I would invest a lot of money and then poof, a lot of money, fail. A lot of money and it fails. And all of them failed differently, some through scams that we were knocked off, some through, you know, we went through a lot of stuff. But guess what? After every bad event, I'll come back to the drawing board. Oh, now you've learned this. Oh, now you need to put this in place. Now you need to learn that. And by the time my wife and I were starting the business, there would be things that would want to come, and I'll tell her from the get-go, nope, not that one. Seen that before. No, not this one. This one fails this way, you know. And she would always tell me her experience of business is so smooth because all my failures, all the heartbreaks, all the tears were actually school. They were actually the Lord taking me through certain things and hardships that would allow me to have a certain IQ to protect what the Lord was doing. And one of the things, the biggest thing the Lord taught me in that whole process is to never move without Him. Because there were times when I'd be in a business and suddenly an opportunity would come and it would look like, hey, this will flip money quickly. So I'll take money from this business and try to do it. And then it doesn't work out. You get me? So now I don't move if God doesn't say. I don't care if you promise gold or gold is sitting on a silver platter. If the Lord does not say, touch it, mm-hmm. we will not touch it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm saying this to say, for years, those were my failures.
Mm.
And I thought God failed me. And I asked God, God, why? Why have you done this? Why did you tell me to leave school, to go and pursue you and do all these things, and then they come to nothing? Not knowing that those were stepping stones.
Mm-hmm.
Those were what God, the pain, the struggle, the failures, the disappointments were actually what the Lord wanted me to know. He wanted me in the dirt so that when I come out, I can see what is good and what is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And now, this doesn't have to be your journey.
Mm-hmm.
There are people like Letitia,
hi,
who God chose a journey where it's just like, boop, someone else can go through that hardship on her behalf. But then there's also an obedience in her journey.
Mm-hmm.
There's also things that she thought. I mean, I remember her biggest struggle was, hey, I've got this degree in psychology and in French. What does God want me doing here for? Like, how does that fall in? And you know the society we live. I'll never forget, there was actually a client who looked her up and down like, oh, got a degree from the University of Pretoria.
What are you doing here?
What's wrong with you? You know? Those are the realities of the stages that we have to go through.
Mm-hmm.
Some people who were you were their bosses will look back at you and think, but what are you doing here now?
Mm-hmm.
Some people who, you know, maybe were coming behind you, suddenly it looks like they're ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to trust God. You don't know what God is working out in you. And you need to trust that. And my mom loves to quote this, and that the Lord will not bring you to shame. You know, He will not bring you to shame. So I don't know what's happening, where you're at, what you've decided God's been doing to you. I can relate. We're humans. And man, we can sit and just be like, but Father, what is this? We've not known this, but we have.
And is it failure or is it God setting you up for exactly what He wants you to do? Noah failed. I mean, come on. You're living in the middle of a desert. It's not rained in however many years. And it took him a long time to build.
80 years of failure.
Yep. It took him a long time to build that ark. You are spending 80 years. Now, life expectancy in our time is not what it was in scripture. So 80 years is unfathomable for a lot of us today, right?
Mm-hmm.
80 years of telling people, it's going to rain, let's build an ark. You cannot imagine how people were like, you know, Noah used to be a wise man. And then one day he went senile. This man really believes that it is going to rain, and he's been going around telling everybody.
Not it's going to rain. Water is going to fall
from the sky. And isn't that failure? Haven't I lost it? God, what's happened to me? Mm. And even in my case, you know, in the business that we're in, so many times I was ashamed of the thing that God told me to do because it didn't look how I wanted it to look. It didn't follow the path that I wanted it to follow. And so I thought, no, God, this one is my failure. Let's talk about Abraham, right? There's a whole Isaac, Ishmael. Where did Ishmael now come from? Jesus, what is this? You told me the child will come from me, my loins, me and Sarah. Where did Hagar come in with this child? Have you failed me? Have you failed me? But the Lord even used that to turn it to his good. You know, I wonder, I was reading sometime this week that Ishmael was born when Abraham was 86 and Isaac came at 100. I wonder if it would have taken that long if there was no Ishmael. I wonder, is it the delay and the test? I wonder. That's a very good question, Mark. Please leave comments and let me know. Let me know what you think about that. So a lot of the times when we think we have failed, it's actually God setting us up for the next thing we have to do. I mean, did Ruth not fail? When you lose a husband, widows tell me this all the time. It's really heartbreaking. And it's why God has such a heart for widows. It's why God says, take care of the widowed and the orphaned. Because you don't just lose a spouse, you lose a community. You lose a community because you now become whatever widows become to the community. You are now the single lady or the lady that needs so much support or the lady that, you know, has nothing to do, you know, all day, the lady that is not in our social circle anymore. I mean, there's a lot of our friendships that are really based on the person that we're with, and we never find out until that person is gone. And so essentially you lose everything. You often lose your home because if it's double income and that's not coming in anymore, life completely changes. And so for Ruth, it was even worse because now she had to leave with Naomi and it just looked like total failure. And everybody's saying, but Ruth, you are free now. Your husband is no more. You are no longer linked to this woman. What are you doing? She's a single woman herself. And you know, in those times, marriage was stature. So the fact that Naomi wasn't married herself, it wasn't like people were saying, yay, you did well. You're taking care of your mother-in-law. And so a lot of the times we think God is failing us, but the promise is still yet to come, right? So it's not necessarily that you didn't do the last thing God told you to do. Sometimes you did do the last thing God told you to do.
I actually want to show you, I want to show them this in scripture because as you were speaking, the Lord just took me to Psalms 105.
Yeah.
There are actually things we didn't realize were failures for Moses, right? So there you are Moses, you've been sent to go and set your brothers free from slavery, and you go. And in Psalms 105 verse 26, it says, he sent his Moses' servant and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They exhibited his wondrous signs among them, great miracles in the land of Ham. Now, think of it from Moses' point of view. You are going, you've never seen these things before. Thick darkness and made the land dark. And guess what? Pharaoh still said no. Failure. Would you go back to God? Like, no, but I went and I did. The darkness didn't work. Then you went again. Water into blood. Caused all the fish to die. Pharaoh still said no. Frogs. Pharaoh still said no. Swarms of flies. Pharaoh still said no. You know, the hail for rain, flaming fire in their land. He struck the vines also with their fig trees. He shattered the trees of their territory. He spoke and locusts came, and the young locusts even without number. And they ate up all their vegetations in their land. And still, Pharaoh said, no, these guys are not going. He struck down all the firstborn in their land, the first fruits and the chief substance of all their strength. He brought the sons of Israel out with gold and silver. So we just speak there. We see them. We are like, oh man, they came out with gold. They came out with silver. But how many disappointments were there? How many disappointments were there? How many things just looked like, this is not working? How many people have promised you? How many doors it looked like, no, this door opened. This had to be God. And then it disappointed. And then it didn't come through. How many times did Moses go back and ask, but God, I even refused. I even told you I can't speak well. I even tried. Like, for Lord, I stayed away from this mission for so long. You brought me back. Now your locusts don't work. Now your hails don't work. Now, guys, sometimes God has to show the full might of his hand and still give grace to the person he's dealing with. Because Pharaoh didn't have to lose all his children. Sorry, all the firstborn of the land. They didn't have to lose them. Also, the army that followed, they could have listened after the locusts, after the frogs, after all of that. So I'm saying that in your journey, there's going to be things that you thought will work that didn't. But you are progressing. You are not regressing. And God is using those things to build you up like Moses.
And what is the last thing that God told you to do? That last crazy thing that seems like, oh, they're going to think I've lost it now. the stepping out on faith thing that he told you to do. What is that last thing? And then if you did it, and you're in a place where it seems like this is stagnant, this is not working, this is not moving anywhere, then are you not just on the right track, but it doesn't yet look how you thought it would look, right? But the joy of being where you are supposed to be. I quickly want to touch on a personal thing of, you know, personal failures. Danny spoke about business, but I had personal mental failures. I didn't go and study psychology because I wanted to help people with their mental health. I wanted to help myself with my mental health because for as long as I could remember, I never wanted to be alive, ever. I would always find a reason why I should be dead, why I shouldn't be happy, why I'm a failure, why I'm, no matter how good I did, it was never good enough. And that was part of that academic, you know, pursuit I personally had, was just the search for why am I here? Make it make sense. And I spent 30 years of my life in the deepest cloud of depression. I shouldn't even be alive if it's not for the might of God. Lord knows I tried failure after failure after failure, delivered at 30. But today, the counseling work that the Lord calls me to do with people, you understand that darkness. There is a level of darkness that failure can show you that grows empathy. If you hear that someone's failing in business, oh, you feel very differently than I do.
Of course, I understand it.
And the Lord can be positioning you through all the things that are going wrong for you to have the character. There we go again. We go back to the character, the countenance that you need for where he is calling you. If he needs me to understand depression and mental illness and what people are going through, then he has to make my countenance ready for that level of information. And sometimes that prep can look like failure.
Guys, we love you. Stay blessed. And God is still with you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on Surviving Life with the Vambillies.
Remember that you can join us every Tuesday at 6 p.m. to hear the entirety of the show, 30 minutes uninterrupted.
And tomorrow from 11 to 1 p.m., you can tune in for our discussions where we get to hear from you and discuss the topic further.
You can WhatsApp us during the live show using 071-364-0376 so that we can hear your opinions, your thoughts, and of course your experiences, and play your voice notes live on air.
And on social media, you can also get us on IG under Impact 103, to be exact. You can also find us on Facebook on Impact Live.
And our personal pages, Surviving Life with the Vambilis, you can just type in at the Vambilis and join all our discussions there as well.
We look forward to having these discussions with you on a weekly basis. Myself, Danny Vambili, and with my lovely wife,
Letitia Vambili. This is us signing off. Until next week.
Goodbye.